Chapter 7. Highlands and Mountains. Almost heaven. West Virginia. Blue Ridge Mountains. Shenandoah River. Life is old there, older than the trees, younger than the mountains, growing like a breeze. From the song, Take Me Home, Country Roads, written by John Denver, Bill Danoff, and Taffy Danoff. Lesson 1. Focus. How can people change rivers to meet their needs? Main idea. Read to find out how people in the Southeast have changed rivers to meet their needs. Vocabulary. Fall line. Pass. Water power. Reservoir. Hydroelectric power. Using a river's energy. Rivers provide water for people. They also help supply the power for industries and cities. Before people can use rivers, however, they must often change the rivers in some way. The fall line. Many of the Southeast's oldest cities began near the mouths of the broad, deep rivers that flow across the region. Settlers later followed those rivers upstream, where they cleared land for new farms and towns. Some people used the rivers to take them even farther inland, toward the Appalachian Mountains. Boats could not take them all the way, however. On every river, waterfalls blocked the way. Many rivers in the Southeast flow from the Appalachian Mountains across the Piedmont to the coastal plain. Where the Piedmont meets the coastal plain, the elevation of the land drops suddenly. This causes waterfalls to form on the rivers. The place where those waterfalls form is called the fall line. A fall line is the place where rivers drop from higher to lower land. Settlers who went beyond the fall line had to carry their supplies overland around the waterfalls. Then, to cross the Appalachian Mountains, they had to find passes through them. A pass is an opening between high mountains. One of the first pioneers who searched for a pass through the Appalachian Mountains was Daniel Boone. From traders, Boone had heard about a fertile land west of the mountains. Boone had also heard that an Indian trail led there. With the help of a friend, Boone found the trail. He followed it across the Appalachians through a mountain pass called the Cumberland Gap. Boone later helped make a narrow road to what is now the state of Kentucky. Boone and other pioneers began cutting the road, which was called the Wilderness Road, in 1775. One pioneer said that when the road was finished, thousands of men, women, and children came, forming a continuous stream of human beings, horses, and cattle, all moving onward along a lonely and houseless path. By about 1800, about 200,000 settlers had traveled the road. Review. Why do waterfalls form across the fall line? Using fall line rivers. Many people went on to places west of the mountains. However, some settled at the fall line. Those settlers knew they could make a good living there. After all, people who lived upstream from the falls would need goods. They would also need help getting their products to ships below the falls. The ships would take the products to markets in cities along the coast. Other people settled at the fall line because they knew how to use the energy or water power of the falls. Water power is the power produced by rushing water. People used water power to run machines in mills and other factories. To use water power, people built water wheels. Water from a river was made to flow over the water wheel, which caused the wheel to turn. The wheel could then run machines connected to it. Cities along the fall line grew very quickly. The waterfalls gave businesses a way to run their machines. The rivers gave them a way to ship their products downstream to market. Many cities in the Southeast grew up along the fall line. Some of them are Richmond, Virginia, Raleigh, North Carolina, Columbia, South Carolina, Macon, Georgia, and Montgomery, Alabama. Review. How did people use rivers along the fall line? People change rivers. Rivers provide water power, yet people need rivers in other ways too. Think about all the ways you and other people use water each day. If we did not have a good supply of water, our lives would be very different. Water, like most other kinds of natural resources, is not distributed equally all over the earth. To make sure they have enough water, people sometimes build dams across rivers. Dams form reservoirs behind them. A reservoir is a lake that stores water held back by a dam. Both people and industries use the water stored in reservoirs. Dams help make electricity, too. Water from reservoirs can be used to turn the large machines that make electricity. Hydroelectric power is electricity made by water power. This is an important source of electricity in much of the Southeast. The Tennessee River and its tributaries used to flood often. To help control the floods and to improve navigation on the waterways, the national government set up the Tennessee Valley Authority, or TVA. The TVA built many dams in the Tennessee River drainage basin. It also built power plants to make electricity. Many parts of the Tennessee Valley did not have electricity before the TVA built power plants there. Having this good source of electricity brought more industries and jobs to the Southeast. The reservoirs made by the TVA dams have been called the Great Lakes of the South because they are good fishing, boating, and recreation areas. Building dams is one way people change rivers, but they change them in other ways too. People build bridges over rivers and levees beside them. People also make rivers deeper so that ships can travel on them. People sometimes pollute rivers too. They can do this by dumping waste into them or by allowing harmful chemicals to wash into them. Review: how do people sometimes change rivers? Industries and rivers. Industries need a lot of water to manufacture most goods. For example, it takes about 250 tons of water to make just 1 ton of paper. To make one Sunday newspaper takes almost 150 gallons, 568 liters of water. That is enough water to fill about 3 bathtubs. One company has been making paper at its mill in Canton, North Carolina, since 1908. To make paper, the company uses water from the Pigeon River to wash wood chips, postage stamp-sized chips of either pine or hardwood. It may not seem that washing wood chips would use a lot of water, but the company uses a lot of wood chips, enough to make 1,500 tons of paper a day. The company makes about 1/4 of all the paper used for envelopes in the United States. It also makes 1 out of every 3 milk cartons. To make all that paper, the company uses about 29 million gallons, 110 million liters of water each day. After the water has been used, it is cleaned and put back into the Pigeon River. For many years, however, water from the paper mill flowed back into the river without being cleaned. That added pollution to the river. Today, the company's ways have changed. Like many other companies that use rivers for manufacturing, the paper mill in Canton began working in the 1960s to reduce water pollution. Recently, the paper mill spent $300 million to improve the water quality of the Pigeon River. The company now makes recycled paper, too. Making recycled paper uses less water and fewer wood chips than making new paper. So, using recycled paper helps save natural resources. Review: how do industries sometimes depend on rivers? Lesson 1 Review. Check understanding. 1. Remember the facts. How are rivers important to manufacturing? 2. Recall the main idea. How have people in the Southeast changed rivers to meet their needs? Think critically. 3. Link to you. How do you think your life would be different if the United States did not have so many rivers that industries were able to use? Show what you know. Art activity. Work with classmates to paint a mural showing some ways in which people change rivers. Display the mural where others can study it. Comparing viewpoints. Should more dams be built? People have been building dams across rivers in the Southeast for many years. Along the Chattahoochee River and its tributaries alone, there are 16 dams. The Chattahoochee River flows southwest across Georgia. Then it forms part of Georgia's border with Alabama. From there it flows through Florida, where it is known as the Apalachicola River. Buford Dam was built across the Chattahoochee River in the 1950s. Like many dams, it was built to help control floods and to make electricity. Most people in Georgia were happy when the dam was built. They liked the reservoir, Lake Sidney Lanier, that formed behind it. Today, Lake Sidney Lanier is a recreation area. Buford Dam, like many dams in the Southeast, was built by the Army Corps of Engineers. In 1978, the Corps made plans to begin another dam along the Chattahoochee River. It was to be built near Atlanta. Atlanta is downstream from Buford Dam. Arguments for building a dam. When electricity is produced by Buford Dam, huge amounts of water go into the Chattahoochee. The Army Corps of Engineers said that a new dam would hold back some of this water and even out its flow through the river. A new dam would also give the Atlanta metropolitan area more water. That area does need more water. By 2010, it will use about 529 million gallons, 2 billion liters of water each day. Arguments against a new dam. Many people do not want new dams. People like lakes, but they don't like dams, said one person who helps build dams. People worry about how dams affect the environment. Some people told the Army Corps of Engineers that a new dam on the Chattahoochee River was not needed. They said that some of the water stored in Lake Sidney Lanier could be given to Atlanta. A new plan. The Army Corps of Engineers changed its plan. Instead of building a new dam, the Corps would increase the flow of water through Buford Dam by 160 million gallons, 606 million liters, each day. Many people, however, do not like that plan. They worry that it would cause lower water levels in Lake Sidney Lanier. This would affect fishing and boating. Many people downstream fear that the Atlanta area would use more than its share of the water. This could mean too little water for boating or for making electricity. They also fear that the water reaching them would be more polluted. The Army Corps of Engineers and the states of Georgia, Alabama, and Florida have agreed to work together and study the problem. Compare viewpoints. 1. What did people have to say against a new dam? 2. Why are many people who live near Lake Sidney Lanier against the Army Corps of Engineers' new plan? 3. Why are many people downstream also against the plan? Think and apply. Think of some problem that separates people in your community. In writing, tell what the problem is. Also, give your own point of view. Then, list some things that support your point of view. Is there anything that might make you change your mind? Explain. Lesson 2. Focus. What can help a city grow? Main idea. As you read this lesson, look for reasons why many cities in the Piedmont are growing so quickly. Vocabulary. State legislature. Governor. The growth of Piedmont cities. Many of the Southeast's largest cities are in the Piedmont. As you learned earlier, this is the area between the fall line and the Appalachian Mountains. Some of the cities are on the fall line. Others are among the region's many hills and forests. All of the cities, however, are growing quickly. Growing industries, growing cities. The Piedmont is rich in minerals. It has many forests and good farmland. Many of the Southeast's factories are in large cities in the Piedmont, such as Charlotte, North Carolina, and Atlanta, Georgia. Both of these cities are also leading transportation centers for the Southeast region. Richmond, Virginia is like many other Piedmont cities. Richmond is at the fall line on the James River. Today, Richmond is a large and growing city. It is also the capital of Virginia. Richmond's location on the fall line made it an important place for trade. Early settlers took furs and crops, mostly corn and tobacco, to Richmond to be sold. From there, the goods were taken down the James River to the coast. Early industries in Piedmont cities depended on the region's natural resources or on the crops grown there. Many industries still depend on the same resources or crops. Richmond, for example, is a leading producer of tobacco products. Textiles, furniture, lumber, and paper are leading products made in Piedmont cities. Greensboro, North Carolina, has one of the largest denim factories in the world. Denim is the cloth used to make blue jeans. Making furniture is an important industry in High Point, North Carolina, and in Montgomery, Alabama. The Piedmont, like the rest of the Southeast, is part of the Sun Belt. As people have moved to the Sun Belt, Piedmont cities have grown. New industries have also helped the cities grow. Among the new industries are services, chemicals, electronics, and scientific research. Near Raleigh alone, more than 70 companies and government offices do scientific research. Review. What are some leading products made in Piedmont cities? State capitals. 5 Piedmont cities in the southeast are state capitals. They include Richmond, Virginia, Atlanta, Georgia, Raleigh, North Carolina, Montgomery, Alabama, and Columbia, South Carolina. Being a state capital helps a city grow in many ways. State governments provide jobs for workers. Many companies also have offices in state capitals. Business people like being close to the government leaders and offices that affect their work. They also use the many services that are available in capital cities. These include communications, banking, and hotel services. The mayor of South Carolina's state capital describes Columbia as a city rich in tradition with a vision for the future. Visitors to Columbia can see houses that were built in the early 1800s. They can also see new buildings rising into the sky. Columbia began as a trading center on the Fall Line. Farmers raised cotton and other crops on nearby farms. They took their crops to Columbia to be sold. Cotton has always been important to the city's economy. The first textile mills in the southeast were built in Columbia in the 1800s. Later, Columbia had the world's first all-electric textile mill. The city grew slowly at first. Then, dams and nuclear power plants were built nearby. More industries and people moved to Columbia. Today, the metropolitan area has more than 500,000 people. Review. How does being a state capital help a city grow? State government. Like the federal government in Washington, D.C., state governments have a constitution. They also have 3 branches. The legislative branch of state government is the state legislature. The voters in a state elect representatives to the state legislature. The state legislature makes laws for all the people of the state. These laws affect highways, schools, state parks, and many other things. The legislature decides how much people will pay in state taxes. It also decides how the state's money will be spent. In most cases, new laws must be signed by the governor. The governor is the head of the state executive branch. The executive branch sees that all state laws are carried out. The courts make up the 3rd branch of state government, the judicial branch. State courts make sure that state laws are fair. State courts also judge people accused of breaking state laws. Many state laws have to do with crime. If people are caught breaking these laws, the courts must decide how the people will be punished. Review. What branch of state government makes the laws for a state? Lesson 2 review. Check understanding. 1. Remember the facts. How has being a state capital helped some Piedmont cities grow? 2. Recall the main idea. Why are many cities in the Piedmont growing quickly? Think critically. 3. Think more about it. Look at the map on page 240. Why do you think 5 states in the southeast chose Piedmont cities as their capitals? 4. Link to you. What is your state's capital? Why do you think it is located where it is? Show what you know. Simulation activity. Imagine that you are running for election to your state legislature. Make a list of some things state governments do. Then use the list to make a speech about what you would do if you were elected. Tell classmates how those things might affect growth in your state or community. Map and globe skills. Compare distances on maps. 1. Why learn this skill? Have you ever helped your family plan a trip? You may have wanted to know how far you had to travel. You could have used the map scale on a map to find out. A map scale helps you find out how far one place is from another. The map scale shows you that a certain distance on the map stands for a longer, real distance on the Earth. No map is as large as the part of the Earth it shows. Depending on the size of the land area shown on a map, some map scales need to be made smaller than others. This means that different maps are drawn to different scales. 2. Understand the process. Look at the maps of South Carolina on these pages. On map A, the state looks larger than it does on map B. That is because the maps have different scales. 1. Find the map scale on map A. Use a ruler to measure the exact length of the scale bar. What distance does 1 inch stand for? 2. Use your ruler to measure the distance between Charleston and Myrtle Beach on map A. How many miles does that distance stand for on the map scale? Instead of using a ruler to measure the distance between two places, you can use a strip of paper and a pencil. Place the paper below the map scale and, with a pencil, mark the distances in either miles or kilometers. Move the strip of paper to the left and keep marking equal distances. Then write the correct number of miles or kilometers next to each mark. To measure distances in miles, your strip of paper for map A should look something like this. 3. Place the strip of paper between Charleston and Myrtle Beach on map A, making sure the zero is on the dot for Charleston. How many miles is it from Charleston to Myrtle Beach? 4. Now find the map scale on map B. How many miles does 1 inch stand for? Using either a ruler or another marked strip of paper, find the distance between Charleston and Myrtle Beach. How does the distance between the two cities on this map compare with the distance on map A? Even though these two maps are drawn to different scales, you can use either map to find the distance between any two cities shown. Real distances on the Earth do not change. The scale used for a map depends on the amount of information that needs to be shown. Map A is drawn to a larger scale, so it can show you more details about South Carolina than map B can. Map B would be very crowded if it showed all the same information as map A. 3. Think and apply. Look through your textbook to find two different maps that show the same state or region. Compare the scales on the two maps and measure the distance between any two places shown on both maps. Is the distance the same? What kinds of things are shown on one map but not on the other? Why is it useful to draw maps to different scales?